الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. صدق الله العظيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا إن الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected brothers and elders, we are 9 days away from the assassination or the martyrdom of one of the icons of resistance in our current time, referring to the martyrdom of Shaheed Yahya Sinwar rahimahullahu ta'ala. His martyrdom is an indication towards the fact that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that no matter what people will attempt to frame you as, they will attempt to degrade you, those that are in control of mainstream media, of all the news broadcasting corporations, etc., they will attempt to degrade a person, to defame a person, to paint him in a bad light. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant a person honor, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant a person izzah, like the words are found in the Quran Kareem, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ, that say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the one who is the king of all kings. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. This is our belief that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That kingdom comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to whom He wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it from whom He wishes. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants honor to whom He wishes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes honor from whom He wishes as well. And if you look at the martyrdom of Yahya Sinwar rahimahullahu ta'ala, in light of this ayah, a lot of times a person would assume that with kingdom comes honor, and with lack of kingdom comes dishonor. But this is a person who lived his life as a refugee, born in a refugee camp, lived most of his life as a refugee in his own country, being denied access at times to the most vital or the most essential of items, living for most of his life with a price on his head. Yet he lived a life of honor, far more honorable than those who possess far more than him. And most importantly, it's not how you live, but how you leave this world. And he left this world in the state of honor, to the point that his assassination or his martyrdom became an icon of struggle and an icon of resistance as well. That even a slogan that his last moments, where he threw a stick at the drone that was trying to film his last moments, that became an icon as a saying as well, that رَمَيْتُهُ بِعَصَىٰ Sinwar, that I threw Sinwar stick at him, an indication that no matter that a person, now he tried everything that he could, that even as much as having a stick to throw at the drone, he did that as well. This became a slogan of power, of struggle against oppression. And that shows that the person gave his whole. So my intention today is not to talk about the Shaheed, but my intention is to talk about our reaction to such situations. That if you look throughout the world globally, many people reacted to the martyrdom of Yahya Sinwar in different ways. There were those disbelievers, kuffar, progenies of monkeys, who celebrated his death. They will look at it as a victory. Then there will be those that will be disheartened by his martyrdom as well. That icon of struggle has now passed on. But my dear brothers, we should understand that not only when it comes to his death, but when it comes to death, to the death of any person who recites the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, it is not something to be saddened upon. When a person passes away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." The kafir will say that a person has passed on, that is a victory, that a person has died, that is a victory, that we have eliminated this person. Oh, if it is someone of their own, they will become sad upon it. But just naturally when a person passes away, this person in our eyes, especially because he's a reciter of the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, this person has now been freed from jail. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. The dunya is a jail for a believer. So when a person is out on bail, not just released from jail, when he's out on bail, how it becomes a celebration. Likewise, when a person is freed from the jail of this dunya, we say that now this person has now attained freedom. There is no worry, there is no concern for this person, there is no stress. And especially when a person passes away as a martyr in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even more so we should be celebrating, should be happy for that person. And not only that, we should aspire that we meet an end like that. يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ. That when a person passes away as a martyr, every one of his sins are forgiven except debt, meaning that if he's owing another person money, that he will have to be held accountable for. But other than that, every single sin of a person is forgiven. And that is the admirable way to leave this world. And that is what every one of us should aspire, to leave this world in that condition, that every one of our sins are forgiven, that we are free from debt, that we are free from sin. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all your efforts, you are vying with one another, vying with regards to a debt like that, so that you can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the condition that you are happy and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. And this will come about, my dear brothers, when we change our focus on life, when we change our perspective on life, and we come to the realization that we are not born to live, but we are born to die. That we are not like the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created to serve another creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the sun, the moon, the stars, that the vegetation, the animals, all of it has been created for insan, for our use. But we as insan have not been created for the life of this world. Ala inna dunya khuliqat lakum. This world was created for us. We were not created for this world. Wa antum khuliqtum lil akhirah. You have been created for the hereafter. You have been created for the akhirat. You have been created to make an effort for your jannat. You have been created to attain the highest stages of Jannah. You have been created to aspire to drink from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Hawz-e Kawthar. You have been created to aspire to have the companionship of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah, in the Akhirah. That should be our objective. And that is what we should aspire to live for and die for. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, whenever they're going through some dunyawi difficulty, some worldly difficulty, immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed their focus. That you are going through some difficulty in this world, but that is not of any consequence to you. Sustenance is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants abundant sustenance to whom He wishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants little sustenance to whom He wishes. When Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were going through some difficulty, going through hardship, what difficulty Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went through with regards to dunya, I can be rest assured that none of us went through such difficulty. At the time of Khandaq, one Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lifts up his kurta, he exposes his belly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that through the immense pangs of hunger that he was going through, he had to tie a stone to his belly. Can any one of us say that we have experienced that level of hunger where no food and water has entered our belly for more than 3 days? I don't think there is a person in Overport that can make that claim, that for 3 days I didn't find a single morsel of food or a sip of water to drink. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum went through that difficulty, went through that hardship, and he presents his condition to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tying a stone to suppress the pangs of hunger. What is the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifts up his kurta to show two stones tied to the belly, Mubarak belly of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indicating a larger pang of hunger that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through. And you should understand, my dear brothers, that when a person is going through difficulty, going through hardship, the dua that a person makes at that time, it is a time of acceptance. Which is why when we are fasting, the time that a person is at his most hungry, at the hungriest, just before iftar, that is the time of qubuliyat. And from our experience, we will realize as well that that cry that comes out at that time, what a cry, what ta'alluq we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time when we are extremely hungry. Imagine going hungry for 3-4 days on end in the sweltering heat of Madina Munawwara, of the desert. At that time, whatever dua, also they were in the state of battle. Whatever dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have made at that time would have been accepted. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have made dua that the Mount of Uhud could be turned to gold, then Medina would become lush with greenery and it would have been accepted. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a lesson for us to come, shifts the focus of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well, taking into account, acknowledging that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu were going through difficulty. But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He turns his hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu to take lesson at that time, and for us to take lesson at this time as well, that we are going through some difficulty, we will be going through some hardship. Perhaps it may be financial, perhaps it may be social, perhaps it may be some emotional distress that we are going through as well. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. That we are going through some difficulty now, but we understand that the life of this world is temporary. The true life, there is no life but the life of the akhirat. Nuqsan, difficulty, hardship, deficiency, loss can come to our lives in this world. But let it not be that nuqsan, loss comes to us in the hereafter. Because that is the true life. لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة فاغفر للأنصار والمهاجرة. What dua does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make at that time? Not that the doors of the heavens be opened, unseen treasures be given to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Had Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua would have definitely been accepted. But at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draws the attention of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, forgive the muhajireen, forgive the ansar. Ya Allah, they are going through difficulty. Ya Allah, this difficulty, they can carry on going through it in this world, but use it for them to overcome the difficulty in the hereafter. We can go through difficulty in this world, but Ya Allah, save us from difficulty in the hereafter. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their focus was such that they were ready to compromise dunya for the sake of deen. This was inculcated within the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to the extent that as long as they were guaranteed something in the akhirat, they did not bother about the consequences of it in this world. There's an incident of Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu, one of the famous Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. He's sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, not very far from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One orphan child comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm trying to secure my home with the wall, but I've come across an issue where my neighbor's tree is too close to my house. If I build the wall within the confines of the tree, then it will not be sufficient to secure my home. If I build it around the tree, then it means my neighbor's tree will come within my property. So please assist me in this regard. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls his neighbor and he tells him that I have nothing financially, monetary to give you, but why don't you give me this tree in lieu of a tree in the hereafter? This person politely declines for whatever reason he has. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not have anything further to bargain with him. So he goes on his way. As Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu was sitting in the vicinity, he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this promise of a tree in Jannah, is it only for this person who owns this tree, or is it for anyone who can give you this tree? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies that anyone who can give me this tree, this I promise him a tree in Jannah. So Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu, he goes to this person and he tells him that, you know, I have this property. Muhaddiseen explain that it had approximately 600 date palms, an orchard which Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu himself resided in. It had his residential home. It had a spring also which was very famous for its sweet water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to enjoy drinking from the spring as well. So he tells him that this one tree that you have, why don't you give it to me in lieu of this entire property of mine? This person asks him, are you joking? He says, no, there's witnesses, we'll conclude the deal now. He says, fair enough. Let's conclude the deal. The deal is concluded. Hazrat Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu now goes back to his family. Any one of us put ourselves in this situation, not only a property that we own, a rental property, if we have to go home and say, tell our family that now it's time with immediate effects, whatever personal effects we have within this property has to now be removed. He goes home and he tells his wife, oh Muddahdah, come outside. She tells him, come inside, it's time for you to come home. He says, no, I cannot come home, this house is no longer ours. She says, you sold our house, our property, our orchards. He says, I sold it. She asks him, for how much did you sell it? If any one of us have to give this answer to our wives, imagine what we will get in return. He says it, I sold it for a tree in Jannah. She tells him, subhanallah, even the lead woman folk, their mizaj was made, their tarbiyat was made, to the point that they were ready to accept akhirat in lieu of dunya. She tells him, what a wonderful transaction this was. And then she comes out with her children, with her personal effects, and they find somewhere else to stay. Then Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells him, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this tree is now at your disposal. You may dispose it of it as you wish. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, how did you manage to secure this tree? So he tells him, in lieu of my home, of my orchard, of the spring. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, kam min ifqin raddahin li biddar dahdah fil jannah. Kam min ifqin raddahin li biddar dahdah fil jannah. That how many a date palm laden with fruit in Jannah for Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point already guaranteed him ownership of trees, multiple trees in Jannah. Yet at the Battle of Uhud, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that who is now the enemy approaching, who is ready? Who is ready to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abu Dahda again gets up, guarantee of Jannah. He gets up, he goes and he gives his life. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeats these at the body of Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu. Kam min izqin raddahin li abid dahdah fil jannah. He was eating dates at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the call that now go out and defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stopped eating these dates. He says, Jannah is waiting. How can I complete eating these dates while Jannah is waiting? He throws away the dates. He goes and gives his life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while performing his janazah, again repeats the words, kam min izqin raddahin li abid dahdah fil jannah. That how many date palms laden with fruit awaiting Abu Dahdah in Jannah.
Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala understood that the life of this world is not the objective. Akhirat, the hereafter, that is the objective. Giving your life for the sake of deen, that is the ultimate goal. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ Every one of us has to aspire for this as well. We may not be ourselves physically in the state of war, but we also have to be in preparedness for this. When a person's life is given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an honor. Not only in this world, but in the akhirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding. لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشَ الْآخِرَةِ We'll go through some difficulty in this world, but our focus should be the hereafter. Our focus should be akhirat. And we should be prepared to compromise dunya for the sake of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ